Let's get it started in here.
Mornings, they can help you feel down. I need info to help me get off the ground, so I listen to know what is going down. There's no need to be uninformed. That's why I listen to Justice and Drew. That's why I listen to Justice and Drew. They cover everything that I need to know. I finally have a good morning show. Justice and Drew, you gotta listen to Justice and Drew. Samsung 5 is the best way to kick off my day. I can't wait to hear what they say.
Can't wait to find out what I'm gonna say. Then I look at you. I don't even know.
You dig it?
Did you not get your script?
I'm not aware.
Did you not?
No, it's still printed up.
Oh, okay, yeah. The RNC has to fax us.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not. This is supposed to be off the air.
That's right.
But turn the mics off.
Your mic's on?
No, I went through the latest.
This from the podcast?
I went through the latest iHeartRadio compliance yesterday, and it said we have to disclose that now.
Yes.
That none of our none of the material that we share is ours. It's all been written by some
Karl Rove.
Karl Rove's sitting in his basement.
Every
and Dick
conservative
Morris.
Every conservative news talk show you hear, this is an industry secret we're letting out right now. But it's the new compliance. I mean, we have to. This is life under Biden.
Never,
you know, is scripted word for word by Karl Rove and Dick Morris, apparently.
Yeah.
I didn't know the second part.
Well, the Dick Morris part covers the times when we're wrong. So,
right, yes,
yeah. That's how that works.
The Dick Morris stuff, that's the false flag stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Karl Rove stuff is the stuff we really want you to hear, really want you to absorb, and they get faxed. They still use fax machines. They get faxed to every radio station every morning.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
fake Sam, are you aware of this? Are you aware of this? This trite criticism that's levied against conservative talk show hosts?
No.
Yeah. So this is a thing where, you know, people. It's one of the they won't focus on the 40 some odd minutes of commentary that's done during the show. They'll pick random other things, like it's just they got other talking points from the RNC, so that's why, because, you know, no, that's never once happened since the day I got into radio. I've never been told what to say, apart from, I've been told what songs to play when I used to work in music radio.
Yes, music radio.
And I got in trouble when I didn't.
Right, yes.
I got written up when I didn't play the songs.
Same thing happened to me in my brief stint in music radio.
Yep.
I thought, I'm a DJ now, I can play what I want. No, you can't. No, you're not allowed to do that.
Well, see, I wasn't playing what I wanted. I just wasn't playing things because I wanted to talk more.
Ah.
We'll get rid of the 7-minute song. We'll get rid of the 6-minute song.
I did overnights when I first got into music radio, so I wasn't supposed to talk at all.
Right.
Like, I was just supposed to, and we had to, you know, every song was an individual CD track. You couldn't just stack things up like you can now in a computer and hit play and have a thing. You had to have all the CDs queued up and hit play at the right times and all that. But I wasn't supposed to talk. But I did, like, because it was overnights, I assumed nobody was listening that mattered in terms of, like, people that work at the radio station. So I would just play whatever the hell I wanted. After, like, 3 a.m., between 3 and 5 a.m., I would play whatever the hell I wanted. That lasted one weekend.
Yeah.
Before I got busted.
I was...
And I got yelled at.
He's Drew. I'm John. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Twin Cities News Talk. I was in between gigs. I had left my first full-time job, and I had moved back to Southern California. And the show that I was with was at the time when I left it, and I won't get into the details, was really, we had a number one show. But we had a falling out with the guy I worked with. So I moved back to Southern California, and I got an opportunity to go and audition for Star in Los Angeles. This was
big station.
This was huge.
Yeah, big station.
This was huge. I mean, this is it. I could live off of being part time and doing weekends on Star. Like, I was making so little money Right. And for whatever reason at the time, I thought that I was going to, you would get paid an exorbitant amount of money just doing weekends. You know, in retrospect, that would never have been the case. So I got this opportunity to do an overnight, you know, it was a Saturday into a Sunday on Star. And I was so excited, you know. And, you know, I recorded it. And you have those moments in life, you know, I don't have a lot of them. You have those moments in life where when you go and think back on them, that pit in your stomach returns and you just go, oh, you just, of regret and shame.
I've got a handful of those.
Well, I finally couldn't get a hold of the program director once I'd done my audition. And I finally did get a hold of him. And he was kind, but he was getting calls while I was doing my overnight shift. And it wasn't because what I was saying was wrong, it was because I was talking too much.
Yeah.
You know, I was, and I came from a morning show,
right,
and he gave me no guidance whatsoever. I should have known better in retrospect, but he gave me no guidance whatsoever. Right.
And you're auditioning. You and want I was to prove yourself, right.
So yeah. I'm like, I'm doing like a 2 minute set.
You're trying to impress.
You know, even on an overnight on Star, you don't do 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Of you do 30 seconds, if that, you get out, you move on. And yeah, I still to this day, I burned that audition cassette that I had. I melted it down.
I wish I had some of my my music attempts at music radio. That was horrible. I didn't know what I was doing. And just like you, I was doing overnights. You know, I got no guidance, no coaching. They just, you know, stuck me in there, told me not to talk. Eventually, I would try to sneak in a little bit of talks here and there. But yeah, I wish I had some of those tapes because they were hideous. They were so bad.
Anytime Brett Fig Sam, anytime Drew's upset with me or, you know, wants to punish me in some way, he always threatens to pull out.
Oh, God.
The first show that I ever did when we first worked. That's the one, right? It was the first show we ever did when we worked together, right? Yeah. I'm like, no. I don't ever want to. I don't ever want to hear it. I never, ever, ever, ever want to hear it.
The audition show or the first real show?
I think it was the first real show is the one. Yeah, yeah. The audition show, you can, you know, whatever. But, you know, it was the first real one. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
You just have it stowed away or something? Just ready to... Ready to roll?
It's got the audio file somewhere.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just asking relevant questions.
I mean, look,
all.
To be honest, I don't want to hear like yesterday's show. So, you know, you should listen to today's show because we do have a roundtable joining us in studio coming up at 7 o'clock, and they'll be participating in the news quiz.
Making her debut on the Friday roundtable and her first foray into the news quiz, independent journalist Rebecca Brannon, which, again, what a serendipitous booking because...
Jeez, man.
I know, right? I asked her earlier in the week if she'd like to participate. She said yes, and then yesterday we just get another dump of Sheriff Hutchinson news. So that's going to be a big part of the show today, talking about what we learned yesterday about that accident. It was unbelievable stuff coming out.
Yeah, we're actually going to help the sheriff out too. I have an article about the drinking habits, the alcohol drinking habits that age your brain. So we're going to go through that list in honor of Sheriff Dave Hutchinson.
I looked at it. I got a little preview of it. And from what we've learned about Sheriff Hutchinson, his brain is probably 708.
The dash cam.
I've done the math.
If you haven't seen the dash cam footage of him just... I know he just got into a wreck and he crawled away from the car. But dude, the dude could barely be on his feet, man.
I don't know how he survived.
Because he was trash.
126 miles per hour.
He was like a jellyfish in there when he wrecked. He was so trash. I mean, that's what they talk about when people get in DUIs and they get into wrecks. It's always the individuals that get struck by the drunk person who get the most damage done because the people who are hammered are just like they're just like bowls of jelly and their bodies are just flopping around.
Someone who is not like a bowl of jelly, Scott Johnson from Powerline, will also be joining us for the Friday roundtable. Real smart. Real heavy hitter roundtable today. Those who are going to compete against Brett.
Kind of.
Talk about your contrast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes! Those two are going to compete against Brett in the Friday news quiz coming up at 8:40. If you want to win $100 from Twin Cities Cannabis, $100 gift card from Twin Cities Cannabis, make your prediction, Rebecca, Scott, or Brett, of who will win the Friday news quiz. All correct predictions will be entered into a drawing.
Yeah, you're in big trouble today, unless you happened to be listening to the show while you were sleeping in the morning when you were supposed to be here. You know, you didn't hear a lot of what'll be in the news quiz today.
The news quiz is going to be interesting today.
Sorry, bro.
It's going to be an interesting news quiz.
If I'm here the whole week, typically I perform well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I'm here for a day or two,
You're in trouble. Yeah.
Use your tweets wisely, people.
Coming up, we do have what we believe would have been in Sam's top five, the passing of an icon. Got news this morning as we all woke up. We'll share this with you. Plus, great news before we dive into the news quiz. And it's about time. I can't believe this taking this long. But word came out yesterday that the M&M characters, they're going to be more inclusive now.
Oh, good. I never felt represented.
FM.
Justice and Drew, glad you're with the show on this Friday morning. Got some audio of a VP Harris and President Joe Biden, a holdover from the press conference earlier in the week. What a stupid question. I'll play you that coming up after 7 o'clock when the roundtable joins us, and we'll get into the 126 miles trashed Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, as more information came out about that.
I'm old enough to remember when the President of the United States lashing out at members of the media was basically treason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It spelled the end of our democracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not anymore, though.
Like a year and a half ago.
Not anymore.
Now it's great.
Not
now
anymore, though.
Good for Joe.
Man, such hypocrisy. Candy, before we get into the top five this morning, Candy is about to get more inclusive with the maker of M&M's announcing its famed characters are getting modern makeovers and will have more nuanced personalities. Now, I kind of put this on the headlines because they're saying they're going to become more inclusive, but it's not what you think, necessarily.
Okay. So we're talking about the animated...
Yes.
M&M's.
Yes.
They're just circled. They're like green, red, brown, yellow circles.
Yes.
With arms and legs.
It'll yes.
Like Mr. Potato Head with an M on its chest.
All of those things.
And the concern was that these were not inclusive enough.
Apparently.
Okay.
Mars Incorporated, the company behind the, as Drew just mentioned, colorful candy-coated chocolates, announced yesterday the global commitment to creating a world where everyone feels they belong and society is inclusive. Okay, I take it back. They are being stupid. They're
who's turning to M&M commercials?
No idea.
And me, like, I don't feel represented. I mean, I do because they're all round and bald. Like, that's fine. Like, I can relate to the M&Ms.
And you're tough
personally.
For a peanut M&M, you're tough on the inside.
But who's worried about inclusivity in M&M commercials?
Nobody. Well,
apparently Mars.
If people are, you're being dumb. As part of the new mission to increase the sense of belonging for 10 million people around the world by 2025.
It takes a while.
This is lunacy. Mars said the M&M characters...
What is the gestation period for M&Ms? I mean, do they have to like make new baby M&Ms and watch them grow up before they can appear
in
their commercial? What the hell is going on
here? I know. I want to deep dive into the procreation of M&Ms here.
Why 2025?
And what is the circle of life for an M&M? They served as mascots of sorts for the brand. They will be receiving fresh new looks. So the green M&M, previously seen in ads posing seductively and strutting her stuff in white go-go boots, will now sport a pair of sneakers. A description for the green candy on the M&M's website says that she enjoys being a hype woman for my friends.
Okay.
First Lola Bunny and now this?
What the hell
yeah.
is ridiculous? These people are insane.
Yeah, the Lola Bunny thing from Space Jam was so stupid. I think we all win when we see more women in leading roles, so I'm happy to take on the part of supportive friend when they succeed. The green M&M said on the promotional site. They have a quote in the Hill from the green M&M.
Jeez, good lord.
Another character, the brown M&M,
oh my God,
described her motto as not bossy, just the boss. But really, who's the boss?
Angela.
That's true. Well played.
Thank you.
That's good. Just kind of lobbed that one over to you and you just smacked it right out the room.
I mean, it's clearly Angela.
It's clearly, because it was clearly Angela. Mars said in announcing the refresh that the M&Ms, which were first released in 1941.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I went back that far. We'll have not the M&Ms themselves. I just mean the caricatures of them.
Oh, really?
That's what it says here. Unless it's just the M&Ms have been around since 1941. Maybe that's what it is.
I would think so. I mean, that'd be my guess.
Okay. I don't think we got the characters until 1942. They will have an updated tone of voice that is more inclusive, welcoming, unifying, while remaining rooted in our signature gesture, wit, and humor. Oh, man, this is going to be offensive.
Probably.
You
this
know,
is going to fail.
They're going to, like, George Lucas Phantom Menace the voices here and give them...
Yeah,
give them ethnic backgrounds, which, again, you're talking about M&Ms. You can't, you're not supposed to, I'm making assumptions here, but you shouldn't be doing that.
How do you tell they have genders? They're just ovals and circles.
I know.
Like, so if they don't have, if Lapino, one of them doesn't
Lapino, well, hold on, I'm sorry, really quick. The peanut ones are all pregnant.
Oh, are they?
And so that's all female. Well, okay, maybe, I'm sorry. Not all female. My bad.
But can't make any assumptions.
My bad. Yes, thanks, Sam.
The peanut ones would be pregnant. That does make sense. with the accents, I mean, if there's not a Minnesota accent M&M, are we even represented?
No.
Like,
no,
what if there's not one saying, you know, like, oh, I'm ready to go? You know, like, I don't feel represented.
Looks like
then.
It's going to be a cold one out there today.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Is there a purple M&M? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Just around Halloween, we get the purple ones.
Yeah.
I think when they color them. As one of the world's most iconic candy brands, Catherine Slight, Mars Wrigley's chief growth officer, said in a statement. I guess that's actually a legitimate gig. I added unnecessary snarky inflection on that. A chief growth officer makes sense. You want to grow the brand.
Sure.
Who better to commit to a world with more moments of fun by increasing a sense of belonging around the globe than M&Ms? So I got to.
I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't
any
even
of
understand
this.
That statement.
I don't get any of this.
Nobody's turning to M&Ms are going to unite us all now.
So I assume in other countries where they
sounds
speak,
like a cool
where they,
song.
I'm assuming in places where they speak other languages, so do the M&Ms. So they are being inclusive.
Well,
right?
We're never being exclusive because they're CGI candies.
Do the M&Ms? do the M&M characters? Okay, so do the M&M characters in the commercials, like in the UK, do they have British accents?
I would assume so.
Right?
I mean, that would be smart,
you know,
if for the brand. If they're
down in Brazil, they speak in Portuguese.
It would be wise if they were. It would be smart.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So I would assume around the world they're giving them appropriate voices.
Right. It's just here in America. This is the only country that worries about
this. It really is.
This is the only country on the planet. 100%
true.
Where we have these types of conversations and disputes and anxiety over inclusiveness.
Yes.
I mean, no other country gives a damn.
No, they're way past that, man.
Or they never went to it.
Yeah, stupid. Right. No, you're right. My bad. You are absolutely right. I remember, and I've told this story before, but I remember when the first trailer dropped for The Force Awakens, and there was that doing that thing with my fingers controversy, you know, about Finn being a black stormtrooper, and you know, and I never even saw any of the negativity towards that. I guess it was out there, but who knows? But I remember receiving messages and emails doing my Star Wars podcast from people in Europe going, you know, everybody gets hung up on this. We don't have these issues over here of inclusivity and all this kind of stuff. You guys just look like a bunch of idiots. It's like, yeah, well, you know, it's because we are. Unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I've said for a long time, like, these are the types of disputes that arise when life is good. You know, when life is good, this is because everybody, like, nobody goes through life without feeling like they need some sort of conflict or some, you know, people want to solve problems.
Right.
It's just inherent in human nature. You want to, you assume there's problems and you want to solve them.
Yeah.
So when you have a society that was humming along as well as we were for so long, you know, and everybody's doing pretty well, standard of living is high for even the people living in poverty, like, you have to create problems to then solve them. And I'm firmly convinced that all of this inclusivity, it's people that had no problems, but needed to find some to solve.
We needed to find a controversy, and we said, that M&M's green legs, get them out of here.
You know,
cover them up.
I know we got the roundtable coming in. I just want to end the show now, because that is such a great point. Because it seems like every time in this country, when we're like at a decent place, you can pretty much guarantee that within like a year or two or three, everything is just going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. And it happens at the local level. City councils, just don't do any. You got elected, your city's running well. Mm-hmm. Don't have meetings. I don't care. Because when you guys have meetings, you look for garbage to complain about and problems to solve that don't exist.
Right. And that aren't, and if they do exist, they're 99% of the time none of your business.
Yeah, great.
And
great,
not
great
your purview.
Great point. You know what? That's 1 through 5 of Sam's top five right there. That's all you need to know today.
All right. Then we'll do Sam's fake top five next.
Sounds good.
All right.
103.5 FM and on iHeartRadio with your smart speaker.
Yeah, we were talking about Mars M&M candies in the story here on Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk, about how they're going to be more inclusive. And this to me seems like it's another circumstance of how the internet has destroyed society. Like, this type of thing has been done. Has always been done in marketing. You know, they've always taken mascots, they've rebranded them, they've changed them throughout the years. Yep. Mr. Peanut pops into my mind. He's changed a ton. You know, going back for decades, right? Yeah, until he died. But usually they just made the change and moved on. You know, they would just make the change, and then the consumer would just see the change, and that was it. But now, I think because of the internet and social networking, these all become stories now, because they know they can get more bang for their marketing buck by sending out a massive press release. And, you know, idiots like us who, you know, look like M&Ms are going to be talking about it on the radio. But it's just like none of this is really, it's not new.
No. You know? And even the idea of, you know, doing something to get people talking, but that's not new. It's just amplified because of social media now. And the tactic by which they use evolves with whatever triggers people at the time. And right now, they know by including words like inclusive and things like that, that there's going to be people that are going to argue about it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I got triggered.
John got triggered.
M&Ms. Yeah, you know what I mean? Next break, I'm going to go to the vending machine. I'm going to get myself some peanut M&Ms. I'm going to eat them.
Nothing but Skittles for me from now on.
Right, I'm going to eat all the female pregnant M&Ms.
You tasting rainbows for the rest of my life.
Oh, like me some Skittles. It's good stuff.
Let's jump into what we believe would have been Sam's top five.
Number one.
Some sad news out of the entertainment world. Meat Loaf, the Bat Out of Hell rock superstar, passed away at the age of 74 years old, out of the Associated Press. The heavyweight rock superstar, loved by millions for his Bat Out of Hell album and for such theatrical, dark-hearted anthems as Paradise by the Dashboard Light, 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad, and I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That, has passed away at the age of 74. The singer, born Marvin Lee Adday. If somebody had asked me,
no idea,
like an hour ago,
no idea
what was Meat Loaf's real name, I would have had no clue.
Yeah, no.
That's a piece of trivia that I actually never learned, and I'm surprised, because I love that Bat Out of Hell album for quite a while.
Well, and even when I saw the story here, I saw there was a line in here that you're going to read, and I was like, who's Adday? And I went, oh, it's him. I didn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, born Marvin Lee Adday. He passed away, according to a family statement provided by his longtime agent, Michael Green. Statement read, "Our hearts are broken to announce that the incomparable Meat Loaf passed away tonight. We know how much he meant to so many of you, and we truly appreciate all the love and support as we move through this time of grief. In losing such an inspiring artist and beautiful man, from his heart to your souls, don't ever stop rocking." No cause of death or other details have been given at this time, but Adday had numerous health scares over the years.
Yeah, I mean, still relatively young. I mean, that was
74.
You know, I'm curious to see what it was, and you know, and it was clear. I mean, he's lived a pretty long life, and
pretty
full life. He's a full man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
So it could have been natural causes, but I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
That Bat Out of Hell album was iconic. I mean, that was an iconic album for such a long time.
It was funny, the Bat Out of Hell Meat Loaf album fell into that category of scary album covers that I misinterpreted as being heavy metal.
Yeah, I can see that.
I always thought the Grateful Dead was like a metal band.
Oh, yeah.
Growing
until
up.
Until I actually listened to the Grateful Dead, I assumed the same thing.
When I Will Get By came out on MTV, and then I'm like, what?
I know.
Jethro Tull, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was a whole bunch of bands like that, you know, Deep Purple. But Meat Loaf was one of those ones. That cover was that incredible artwork. I mean, that was back in sort of the heyday of album cover. And you still got that going into the 80s as well, when album cover was like movie posters to a certain extent. It was an art form all unto itself.
Yep, yep.
And Bat Out of Hell just scared the daylight out of me as a kid. I go, that's just devil music. That's really hard. And then you hear it and you go, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
I was most familiar with him, not through his album, but one, when I was first introduced to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
And then later in life, of course, in Fight Club, you know, playing the character of which I can't say the name on the radio. Mm-hmm. And he was amazing in it. I mean, and that was one of those roles that to me, you know, Meatloaf kind of transcended, and it showed, it was one of those moments where you kind of showed that this guy had just raw talent across the board.
He was a performer.
Because he was amazing in Fight Club. He was amazing in that role.
I mean, even his music. I mean, his music was very performative.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was theatrical, and it was, you know, that was his thing. He liked big, theatrical ballads. The whole Bat Out of Hell album, I mean, it's basically a long concept album.
Yeah.
You know?
That sounds like just right on my screen. I need to check it out. I know some of the songs, but I've never listened to Bat Out of Hell. I know Paradise by the Dashboard Light, and I know I would do anything for love, but I won't do that, and I still don't know what that is. But
yeah, no, but that's the type of album, if you really want to, you gotta kind of sit down and listen to it from start to finish.
Well, I'm down with it. Yeah,
yeah, it's not just like put it in your car for a 20 minute drive kind of thing.
A bottle of wine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Just put one candle on.
Put some headphones on.
Yeah, all right. I'm into it.
It's getting intimate in here.
Number.
Brett's like, why are you looking at me?
Yeah, you made eye contact with me after that.
Well,
why?
Don't worry, I'm about to change the tone.
Oh, thank you.
The tone's going to change rather quickly here. Out of Newsmax, Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, said the agency is investigating the hostage crisis at the Texas synagogue on Saturday as an act of terrorism targeting the Jewish community. Yeah, we knew that.
You think?
This was not some random occurrence, Ray told viewers of a webinar hosted by the Anti-Defamation League. It was intentional, it was symbolic, and we're not going to tolerate anti-Semitism in this country.
You know what you're getting from the media on this, too, is...
Yeah, Fox News covered the audio, Drew. I know you saw this. I'm sorry. This was the Journal Constitution. There was the audio that was released. The last call the family made during the siege, during the British terrorist siege, who took four people hostage, ranted about blanking Jews in the final phone call he made to his family during the siege.
I know it's got memory hold so quickly. I mean, it's like when I was pulling these stories this morning, and I was, you know, it's like I had to take a moment and remind myself that was just last weekend, right?
Yeah,
you know, because granted, now it's been a pretty news heavy week with the press conference and all of that stuff, but at the same time, man, you know, this was a terror attack. This was a terror attack on the Jewish community in our country by a foreign national, but even Joe Biden came out and called it a terror attack, and you would think the media just completely forgot about it. It's in the same file as the Christmas parade in Wisconsin.
Well, and I could be getting this wrong, so if I am, you know, forgive me, but I thought I had heard a stat as of late that over the past couple years that hate attacks against the Jewish community outnumbered all other demographics. Mm-hmm. Like the rise in attacks that were spurred on by hate, it was highest among the Jewish community. You would never know that based on the mainstream media and the
doesn't fit the narrative
and the narratives the left likes to push. But that's the case.
The narrative that the left likes to push is that the only people that are capable of engaging in hate crimes are white males.
You found this, so just real quick on this, you found this article as well, Drew, from Unheard, where it says the Texas synagogue attack won't be the last. Islamists have regrouped and grow stronger, and they make two relevant points in here. The first is that the attack should never have been allowed to happen. The second is that such acts of violence are likely to become more frequent. It says during the Obama years, terrorist attacks almost seemed routine, but for much of the past several years, we've seen their frequency decrease, thanks largely to defeat of Muslim terror groups and the disillusionment of many young Muslims with radical Islam. In that period, though, as Akram's attack demonstrates, we've let our guard down, and the Islamists have noticed. They've taken this quiet time to regroup, raise money, recruit extensively, and grow stronger. Shigitam. David,
we're overdue.
David on and
we're overdue
have some discussions
for,
with this.
Yeah, we're overdue for a visit from David. We'll try to line that up for next week because I want to talk to him about this, and I also want to talk to him about Russia and Ukraine and get his thoughts on that as well.
Number three.
Might be getting some walls checks.
I want all of it. This isn't enough.
This isn't enough.
Timmy.
It isn't enough, but... You know, remember how much the DFL like to laugh about Jesse checks?
Right.
Well, now we're getting Walls checks. These are totally different, and they're better, though.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I mean, they're not totally the same thing at all.
Right.
Not even remotely. More than 2.7 million Minnesota households would get checks of $175.
Oh.
Or $350.
Okay.
From the state under a spending plan Governor Tim Walz unveiled yesterday, with money channeled to frontline workers and caregivers as well.
All right.
The DFL governor also wants to repay the state's unemployment insurance debt, a move that has bipartisan support and would prevent a potential large jump in payroll taxes for employers. But the big thing out of the proposal is expanding economic opportunities and including Walz checks. Like, he wants his name on them.
Oh, okay. He's calling them Walz checks.
Yeah, he's like, you will call these Walz checks.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I got to run for re-election, guys. I don't know if you know this. So we're going to call them Walz checks.
Maybe Walz bucks. No, that doesn't sound good either, does it?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, Walz checks, actually a great Ukrainian hockey player in the 80s.
It sounds like either that or a grocery store.
Yeah, I know. Or like a deli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be all those things.
I want to head down to Walz checks for some sausage.
Down the wing comes Walz check.
Republican legislators quickly derided Walz's idea of the one-time checks, which would give, again, payments of $175 to single tax filers earning up to $164,000 and $350 to married couples who file jointly and make less than $273,000. Senate Majority Leader Jeremy Miller said in a statement, Walz checks are nothing more than an election year gimmick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
We knew that.
I mean, I would hope that even Tim Walz would concede that point.
Uh-huh.
And it will barely cover the inflationary costs of everyday necessities. We'll propose permanent, ongoing, targeted tax relief for working Minnesotans so they see savings every single year. And my take is, do both. Give us the money back.
Yeah.
You know, give us the checks and give us the tax relief. Because every year that these politicians run out and pat themselves on the back for these massive surpluses is another year that Minnesotans were overtaxed.
I want it all. I'd like it all back. I want more money than this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just give it all back.
You took a lot more than that.
Wow. Yeah. I took a lot more and I still owe. I did my taxes yesterday and I still owe the state. I got to figure that out. That's a personal problem, though.
Number four.
From Fox News, former Democrat Labor Secretary Robert Reich became the latest figure on the left to viciously attack Senator Kyrsten Sinema over her filibuster stance, suggesting Senate Democrats should assault her for it.
This is another example of a thing a Democrat can say and no one will get outraged, but if a Republican ever said this about anybody, they would call it what it is, which is, you know, you're inciting violence.
Tonight, Republican senators lined up to shake at Kyrsten Sinema's hand, he wrote in a now-deleted tweet on Thursday. Democrat senators should have given her the backs of their hands. Now, he said it was misinterpreted. He said he deleted the tweet because it was widely misinterpreted and distorted by conservative media, calling back of the hand an idiom for rebuke. Well, if that was the case, then why delete it?
Right.
If that's the case and that's what you meant, right, then why go and delete it? So no, he knew. We all know what he was saying, exactly what he wrote.
When I saw it on Twitter for the first time, right above it said Keith Ellison likes this.
Number five.
Hashtag be sure to take out the trash.
Out of USA Today, the Ukrainian president has spoken up after Biden said, you know, if they do a minor incursion, it's probably fine. The Ukrainian president was like, what?
Why does Biden now sound like Amy Klobuchar?
Out of USA Today, Ukraine's president pushed back Thursday on President Joe Biden's suggestion that a minor incursion by Russia into Ukraine might not merit a strong international response. Volodymyr Zelensky says in a tweet, we want to remind the great powers that there are no minor incursions and small nations.
Seriously, man.
Just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones. I say this as the president of a great power.
What?
Zelensky's comment was a remarkable retort from a close U.S. ally that has received millions of dollars in military assistance.
I wish that somebody at the press conference would have asked Biden what qualifies as a minor incursion. Like,
oh, man, the walking back that they're trying to do on it now, too, is just pathetic.
What is a minor incursion of Russia in the Ukraine? Like, a handful of troops just walk in and say, hey, everybody, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, they just, like, hang out. You know?
You guys using this part of Ukraine?
What's going on? We're gonna sit on this park bench over here. You got a place where I can put my tank? Do you mind? I mean, what is a minor? Hey, we're in. We're out. Hey, we're in. We're out.
Hey, you guys using this? We'd like to set up a capital.
You great. Put mine? Your left foot in.
Just get a bunch of Ruskies on the border, just kind of going, just jumping off them back and forth.
Biden said we could do this. Biden said we could do this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they act like my 15-year-old to my 19-year-old. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
The green M&M's high heels is a minor incursion on society. You're right. I'll tell you that.
During a news conference Wednesday, Biden said, of course, the U.S. would hold Russian President Vladimir Putin accountable if Russia invades Ukraine, but suggested the consequences would depend on the extent of Russia's aggression toward its neighbor.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck, Ukraine.
Yeah, seriously.
Godspeed.
Only 3 more years, guys. 3 more years.
Good job there, Drew.
Good job, John.
You know, and Brett, you know, glad you're here.
Oh, thanks.
Good, happy to be here. Good job making it here.
I mean,
here.
You didn't screw it up.
It's true.
So. I mean, it's a low bar.
We got a roundtable joining us in the studio from Powerline. Scott Johnson will be in here and making her roundtable debut.
Yep.
Independent journalist Rebecca Brannon. We will get into Dave Hutchinson, the Hennepin County Sheriff. Walls, now it's enough. Now Walls is calling for him to step down. The Star Tribune has doubled down on their call for him to step down. In light of the latest news of him traveling some 126 miles per hour before he wrecked his vehicle.
Crazy.
The dash cam footage alone is pretty remarkable. Plus, we do have some audio to share with you as well. Harris, VP Harris, dodges on whether Biden cast doubt on election legitimacy. And as Drew mentioned, White House did clarify that Biden did not intend to cast a doubt on the elections as well. It's all coming up on Justice and Drew.